All right. I want to welcome everybody to another episode of the Cornerstone of America podcast. I am your host, Alex Jowdy, and I am coming to you from our new podcast studio slash garage gym space. So, and I am joined by my first guest with the podcast, my wife, strength coach, Anna Marie.
Hello.
Welcome. Thanks. Yeah. So, I thought it would be fun to do another episode together where the last time we recorded our first episode,
we're still in Tacoma.
It was pre-pandemic.
It was 2019, right?
Yeah. 2019. Yeah. End of 2019. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And at that time, I was still working a full-time corporate gig. You were working from home full-time, like just as of right now, but not as busy. You know, you had a barbell class you were running out of the garage gym.
Lots of in-person clients and then contract work with a couple different companies. Actually, just one company at the time, but now it's two.
Right. And then of course, like, you know, homeschooling and everything else that we do as well. So what I thought we'd do is, you know, for new listeners, just give a brief kind of catch up to our background, yours especially, and then just kind of dive into what we're doing here out in Kalispell, Montana. So go ahead.
I hold a starting strength coaches certification. I've had that for about 5 years. It is the most difficult certification to acquire in the industry at this point. And then I received last September the professional barbell certification from Barbell Logic. So that's one of the companies that I contract with as a contract coach. And it was a requirement to get the PBC, and I took it, nervous that I wouldn't pass because it had been so long since I had taken the platform and then written for the starting strength certification that I was afraid that I'd lost all the knowledge, which isn't possible because of the application of it on a daily basis. But you still have that imposter syndrome where you're afraid that you're going to forget everything and don't know anything. And I literally had a breakdown in the middle of my PBC, and my proctor was like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "No, I forgot everything." But I didn't. I still passed. He told me the next day, and I literally laughed because I was like, "Oh my gosh, I thought I failed so hard." But beyond that, my background is heavily lab sciences, pre-med, pre-nursing, midwifery student, and then doula. I was a doula for a long time. So very heavy in the anatomy and the physiology. And then physics, of course, came when I became a starting strength coach because it was a requirement to understand how your body moves barbell through space. So that is my professional background.
Right.
Right.
So yeah, that's not a lot at all. You are also a homeschooling mother of five. Been doing that since the beginning of us having kids. You know, we have five kids, a 12-year-old boy, and then we have four girls, 10, twin 8-year-olds, and a 3-year-old, a fiery, feisty 3-year-old.
I just asked her jiu-jitsu coach.
Yeah. And we all moved here about five months ago.
Right. 5 months ago from Tacoma.
Yeah.
It was an interesting year because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Washington shut down really hard, and like churches closed, which was a humongous blow to our morale as a family. The Y closed, the jiu-jitsu gyms closed, everything closed.
Parks.
So for grocery stores, liquor stores, pot dispensaries, and mega stores.
Uber essential.
Right. So essential. I didn't close because I was always within COVID regulations because I was a small business that didn't have more than 10 people in my gym at any time. Right. And I ended up doing pretty decent business with people that wanted to train anyway, even though the gyms were closed. So it was an interesting year. We, I think after the third or fourth extension of the lockdown in Washington,
it was the third one in spring, like in May, when they started talking about shutting down again.
I was downstairs in our house in Tacoma on my computer, like, fuck this. And so I was so mad. I was so angry because I was just about to start a new barbell class. I had this wonderful elderly client that I had been helping get strong. He had, you know, he had dementia, and like his stability was off, and I'd gotten him to the point where he was squatting over 100 pounds and deadlifting over 100 pounds and pressing and all that stuff. And he had really bad shoulder mobility, and I'd worked really hard with him. And they were shutting us down again, and I couldn't have him in my class. Nobody would come. at that point.
Right.
And so I'm on my computer in the kitchen and I'm like, screw Washington. Let's go somewhere else. I'm on my computer just like this. And I get a text from Alex upstairs going, hey, and I'm Googling like places to go that aren't awful. And I'm thinking, I have a friend in Montana. I've always wanted to go to Montana. Let's go visit Montana. And at the time I was not aware that Kalispell was like a place, but I knew where my friend lived and she lived in the Flathead Valley, which is where Kalispell is. So I get a text from Alex as I'm angrily typing into Google, like, where's a better place in Washington? And I get, hey, why don't we go to Montana? Completely different parts of the house. We had not been talking. We had not been texting at that point. And I was like, what? And so, he goes, yeah, let's go to Kalispell. And I was like, where's that? Look it up. It's in Flathead Valley where my friend lives. And he had said, oh, there's this really awesome jiu-jitsu gym there that he'd talked to me about in the past, Straight Blast Gym International and Kalispell. And I thought, okay, well, let's go check it out. So we tried to get an Airbnb, but the state wasn't open to come visit until after the 1st of June. So that was, I want to say, like the second week of May.
Right.
And so we booked an Airbnb in Kalispell. Yeah. Only for 2 days, and it's an 8 hour drive, 8.5 hour drive.
Yeah. It was like Friday to Sunday.
Yeah. To Sunday from Tacoma. Boom. So we left really early in the morning. We got here. We stayed in this little cool little Airbnb downtown.
Yeah, it was
we
fun little house.
Everywhere. And we connected with my friend who lives here, who's a real estate agent, and looked at some houses, hung out with her and her kids. And she and I had grown up together in the same church in the same town in Santa Cruz, and hadn't seen each other in a really long time, but our kids hit it off like gangbusters, and we went to visit the church here, the Orthodox church here, and we loved it. And so we decided we were going to come back for mine and our eldest's birthday, which is the end of July, but they were all booked out. So we ended up coming back in August.
Right.
And in the interim, I thought about other places to like move that weren't as far from all of our friends that we'd made in Tacoma. So we went to Yakima and places like that. And we liked it, but we came back in August. And by the end of the week, we had put a down payment on a full family membership to the jiu-jitsu gym here.
Yeah, at SBG. Yeah, we prepaid for a year.
We had made our decision that we were going to come here and not go anywhere else. So we, that was what, like middle of August?
Yeah, it was August. And they were great, you know.
They were like, just tell us when you get here. We'll just take the deposit and you'll start when you start. We were trying to shoot for October 1st. Mm-hmm. And we ended up jumping through a lot of hoops trying to find a rental, couldn't purchase a house at that point. Ended up sending a picture of our family to bribe our way into this house. And
look at our kids. They're so pretty.
Beautiful children. Yeah. And got in here and we drove out of Tacoma at 7 o'clock on Halloween.
Right. Got here November 1st.
And got here November 1st at 6 a.m.
Yeah, Sunday. Yeah.
Two cars packed full of stuff. And our wonderful friend James.
Yes.
And Alex had come the previous week with a bunch of our stuff already. So
yeah, set up the bedrooms, the vast majority of the house.
And then our
yeah.
amazing friends and like family that we'd created in Tacoma helped break our gym down the last day.
Yeah.
Held it together, didn't cry till everybody left and the gym was empty.
Yeah, that was
and
stressful.
And then our wonderful neighbor was playing his saxophone.
Like, yeah, he's a music teacher. Yeah.
He played our saxophone and I started crying because, you know, I'm a big baby. but yeah, so that was our journey to Kalispell.
Right.
And it's been 5 months.
Yeah, it's been 5 months. And it's been, besides, not to be a downer, within that 5 months, my dad passed away and your dad passed away. Mine was expected. It was, he'd been sick for a long time. He'd been in skilled nursing and he, Parkinson's and, you know, God, you name it, he had it. And, and, you know, with talking to my brother and sister, you know, put a plan together to bring him home for hospice care. And then we came home
we were there for a week for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, about 3 weeks after we moved.
We drove back to California.
Which is a 20 hours. Yeah, so we broke it up into 2 days. Stayed there, saw family, spent a lot of time with my dad. Great. Kids
and
got
my
to see
dad,
the grandfather.
It was actually really cool.
Yes.
Celebrated Alex's birthday.
Right. And that was fun. And and then got to say goodbye to my dad. And then we came back and he passed a couple weeks later. Then
so
I
went
back down just by myself for the funeral.
I was in Texas the weekend before that.
Right. For a coaching.
To maintain my certification with starting strength, you have to audit every 2 years. So I went to the seminar in Texas at Wichita Falls. And I was there for the weekend. That was the weekend that your dad passed.
Right.
And then the following Thursday, you flew out to California?
I drove.
That's right.
Because I had some business in Seattle. Right. So I went to California for the funeral, then up to Seattle, then back home. And then, yeah, that was nuts.
And then that was Christmas.
Yes. And then
New Year's.
Right. And then February, like out of the blue. Like
February 2nd.
Yeah. We got a call from your mom and your dad passed away.
In his sleep.
Yeah. Totally random.
Like 63. Not,
yeah.
That was
a shock.
It's still really awful.
Right. And that was tough.
It's our 5 months have been very, very eventful.
Yeah.
And not in the best possible way, but, you know, it is what it is. And you keep trucking.
Yeah. And that kind of gets to the main point of kind of like why I want to do this episode with you, which is to talk about, there's a lot of podcasts, a lot of books, a lot of, topics talked about, you know, TED Talks. I mean, you name it, about hardship, you know, pursuing hardship, discipline, all those things. Right. And, I just thought it'd be interesting to give our perspective as a, you know, a couple with five kids, you know, mostly, you know, I have a part-time, you know, corporate gig in the morning. I work from home as well. And, so, you know, what it's like to go through all that with five children, you know, as a family. And then also kind of compare it to like now that we've taken on this new thing, you know, you're 37 years old. I'm 41 years old, 38, sorry, 38.
You tend to either make me really old or younger than I am. You're like, you're almost 40. I'm like, whoa, buddy, hold your horses. Almost
closer
40.
To 40 than 30.
See, well, still not
in my,
40.
In my defense, I'm trying to get you to 40 because you were a smoking hot 40 year old. We're not having this conversation. So anyway, you're 38. I'm 41. Right. And we started this whole, like, I have a little bit of background with, like, you know, 15 years in insecurity and having worked with, you know, a lot of guys. I've learned a lot of things working with different people that have different disciplines and backgrounds and, you know, jujitsu and boxing and wrestling and Muay Thai. So I picked up a lot of stuff along the way and then worked with a lot of police officers and law enforcement, which was great. And it helped me out a lot, but I never was really able to time-wise commit to enrolling in jujitsu, which is something I always wanted to do.
Our entire family is doing.
Right.
We're at.
So we're at Straight Plus Gym.
SPG Montana or Kalispell.
Yes.
Because there are multiple SPG gyms in Montana, Whitefish,
right.
Big Fork, Missoula, Bozeman opens on the beginning of May. May 1st.
Yeah. And that was the reason why we came out.
We're the original one out here in Kalispell.
Yes.
And it's in a pretty rad building.
Yeah.
But all seven of us, including our 3-year-old,
yes.
are in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And we are there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah,
pretty much. We don't go Sundays because it's the only day that we don't do anything kind of outside our family.
Right.
It's our family day.
Yeah.
But there's like great rolling on Sunday afternoons, I'm told, which I'm kind of jealous that we haven't gone. But
we'll make it there.
We'll make it. But we started out in Foundations, which is basically the beginner course where you learn the basics of jiu-jitsu. And then when you exhibit that you have the basics enough down, they give you your first stripe on your white belt, and then you're invited to the CAP program or the combat athlete program.
Yep.
And we were invited, but because there's seven of us and our kids were going to be invited to leadership, which is a whole nother level with their classes, we kind of held off joining CAP for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been in CAP for a month now.
Has it been only a month?
Yeah. Going really regularly and rolling and really just enjoying.
Like
another level of being a novice again,
right?
A novice at something.
Mm-hmm.
And then another level of choosing to do something that's not easy. That's hard. That's challenging.
And you can't just muscle your way out of it.
You know? No,
no,
you can muscle your way through a lot.
Yes.
But you can't muscle your way out of most things. And
it helps.
It does help.
It helps,
sure.
It but you got to have stronger. The skill set first. You have to have the skill.
But that
set
was
first.
That was what appealed to me. I've always wanted to do martial arts. Like as a kid, I wanted to, but it was not something that was in the cards for my family as a kid. And they didn't have jiu-jitsu where I was. It was karate or taekwondo. And I had a cousin who did taekwondo and she was like a third degree black belt by the time she was probably like 15, which meant she could do all the tricks and the jumping and all that stuff. But I was always more interested in contact.
Yeah.
Like I played soccer.
Yeah.
And I was a very contact driven soccer player. And I liked to wrestle with my dad and he taught me how to box when I was, you know, as soon as the daughters in his family, because there's six girls, my family started growing boobs. My dad taught us to box. And it was like his way
smart
of being
man.
Like, look. And he did a good job.
Yeah.
We were decent with our fists.
Yes.
but our kids did jiu-jitsu in Tacoma.
Actually. The oldest two did, yeah.
Yeah, the two oldest ones. Yeah. And I really, it just was really fun to watch, and it looked really cool. And it's been super fun to learn from the different coaches that we have. And they're different, the different ways that they approach a problem and the way that they attack timing. Because jiu-jitsu is actually really about applying your skill in a timely manner.
Yeah.
The black belt, it's like chess. It's like 7 steps ahead of you before you even touch them.
And the white
belt, the white belt is like, wait,
spazzing
I put my hand here and then here. And then my foot goes here.
And why am I getting choked now? What just happened?
Wait a minute. Why am I on my back already? And why are they smiling in my face, softly breathing? And I'm sweating my ass off and going,
right.
So the goal is to get there. And that takes time, just like with training. You start out as that super slow, sweaty, gasping white belt, and your goal is to become that Zen master black belt. Or in Cody's case, thinly veiled violence.
Yes, exactly.
But it's so cool because like we have some great coaches, and
they
all like Leah is methodical and like measured. Uh-huh. John's
hilarious. The goofy Canadian.
John.
But you know what? I can't call him Canadian. He's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah. So, John looks like when he moves.
The cartoon character.
You feel like he looks like a comic book character for sure. Like a Captain America type. But
He's like a chimp. Because
his hands are feet.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's about 170 pounds soaking wet. He's solid. And when I did my first roll with him, I literally outweighed him by 100 pounds. And I'm like, okay. He's like, all right, let's go. I'm like, what are we doing? It was like that scene out of Talladega Nights. I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
And he comes home and he lays on the couch and his hands are like T-Rex arms. He's like, I can't, my arms hurt so bad.
He put his freaking monkey feet on my biceps and he's destroying them, right? And I'm sitting there going like, I can't punch him.
So this is an example of how you cannot muscle your way past skill.
And I knew that.
And so it's been really fun to be a novice again, to learn new things. And it's going to take years and years and years until we get to the place where we're anything remotely that smooth or poetic when we move.
But the process is fun. The process is really so fun. Yeah.
And
the gym's phenomenal. Like as far as like how supportive everybody is. And
the community is.
Right. So I have to say like real quick before we go any farther. Right. I found out about the gym through Andy Stump's podcast because I was been listening to that for the last few years. And he had on the owners, Travis and Kisa Davison. I want to say maybe it's been 2 years now, a year and a half, something like that. And, you know, they told their whole backstory and then just the whole breakdown of the gym itself and the culture. And Kisa talked about the I think it's called the Growing Gorillas program. It's just like they have this whole like leadership program for kids. And it's not just about the one thing I don't like about a lot of martial arts is from somebody who has a background in security, like, you know, balancing in nightclubs, bars, you know, personal protection. I mean, you name it, I've done a lot of it. And there's a lot of what I call bullshitsu, right? And it's the stuff that looks really good, like in a choreographed manner. Choppy. Yeah, slappy choppy. But in a real life application, boxing and jiu-jitsu are your two go-tos. Wrestling as well, and it's wrestling and jiu-jitsu kind of go hand in hand. Like they're very comparable. But 90% of the time, you end up in a situation with somebody, you're going to end up on the ground, and that's where people freak out, and that's where people don't know what to do. In jiu-jitsu and wrestling, that's where you live, and that's where you know what to do, and that's where you're comfortable. And you know, so I knew for a fact as far as like, okay, that's something I always wanted to get involved in. I wanted the kids involved in that, especially having 4 daughters. I want them to be able to handle themselves. And I knew it was an issue from a strength side, you know, like in conditioning and coaching that part of it, but just like understanding like close quarters, hand to hand, dealing with somebody, how not to freak out if somebody ends up on top of them, how to get out of that, how to, you know, so that program that they have there, the kids program, is like phenomenal. So it's not just a program where they're promoting and they do a belt chest every 30 days and they're charging $30 and they're just trying to get more money out of you, like a lot of martial arts gyms do, you know, where you've got like a 7-year-old black belt, which is bullshit, right? So, you know, and they actually, their program, doesn't matter how long you've been there, you can't be a black belt. I think
you're an adult.
Yeah, you cap out like at a certain level, a certain belt, and then you basically resell as a white or a blue belt once you turned 16 or 17 or something like that. I forgot what the details are there, but it's,
yeah, we're not there yet.
No. But yeah,
it's to be older. You can't be a black belt until you're older.
But the lessons they do, like the kids program, what I love about it is they have like every month they have this homework, like life skills homework, right? And, you know, so the kids have to bring home this program and they have like this checklist. They have to get 30 marks off of it, you know, before they get their life skills stripe. And
just like a color tape on the other side of their belt. Because the one side of the belt with the black block is where they tape
for the
promotion to the next belt. Yeah. And so the one end has a black tape with the black line and the other end is just plain and they wrap the color tape around that.
And they have things from, you know, write a story about your day, talk about something you struggled with. They have a parrot power pick where we pick something and usually
whatever our kid is struggling with.
Yeah.
We put there.
We'll pick clean your room or don't freak out or
mind your own business.
Mind your own business. You know, things like that. And it's really, really helped the kids with their life skills. And it's integral to it. And when they, you know, the kids are coming up on their first belt promotion. And one of the things.
All four of them actually just got offered the promotion.
And one of the things that, you know, the form they send you is, you know, like since we homeschool the kids, there's, you know, the teacher has to sign off saying, are the kids, you know, meeting the standards of, you know, behavior and pursuit of excellence and everything else as well. And then at home, you know, behavior wise too. So
they're lucky they get both their parents to sign it and nobody else can say like, yes, they're doing great. I'm in school with them every day.
So she does the teacher sign and I do the parent sign. Right. And yeah, so that's one thing I really, that's one of the many things I love about the program itself. You know, the kids program there. And the other aspect of it too, is for us as novices, you know, in our late 30s, early 40s, it's so much fun to be able to go to this thing. And once you get past that foundations course and then you get into CAP, you're in class with blue belts, brown belts, purple belts, black belts, right? And everybody for the most part is very humble. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to help each other. Everybody's trying to get better because everybody realizes
especially if you approach it with humility yourself.
Yes,
if you come at them, I think just like in any other area, if you come at them with an attitude, they'll be like, okay, I'll roll with you. And then what they'll do is they'll gently or not so gently fold you up and tie you into a bow for 5 minutes. Make you go sleeping at night. That has not occurred with us because we know what we don't know. Like we don't know what we don't know, but we know we don't know much.
Yes.
And so we just kind of go into it trying to learn. And that I think is the best way to go into anything that you're new at, is not thinking that you know what you're doing, but be like, okay, teach me.
Yeah. And when we started, I was like, I've never seen myself as a big guy. Right. And I think part of that is, like, you smirk right now. Part of the reason is I spent years working with guys that had that were like literally named Igor and had the last name Hansman, you know, and were like 6'4 and like 330 and their hands like fit over my face. You know what I mean? So like, I was a small guy. Right.
You were one of the little ones.
Yes. Relatively.
But speaking, in real world.
Yes. So, but you know, like, you know, I understand. I'm a bigger guy. So when we started, I was about 290 and I had the goal of like, I wanted to get back down again. And I was already training regularly anyway. And then when we started going to class, I was like, oh, I am bigger than everybody here. So I had the mindset of like, I want to make sure, like, first of all, understanding jiu-jitsu. And then when you get to open mat, like if you go in and you just try to hurt people or just try to muscle your way through,
they kick you out.
Well, first of all, you're going to have a hard time getting rolling partners, right? And you can't get better. Like you can only get so good watching YouTube videos, right? Yeah. It's just, you can't get better. You need partners. And the other aspect of it is like, I wanted to make sure I didn't build that reputation of just being this big dude that was just going to smash people, you know?
When you sign up for CAP, they tell you as a female to avoid rolling with other male white belts because they tend to go to the paint with you. And I know this is a really unpopular idea at this point in time because
it depends on who you
science
ask.
Doesn't matter, but women and men are different, and the benefits of being a man, that you have more lean muscle mass, denser bone structure, more explosive, you know, you're a more explosive person and just in general because of what you have. So as a woman, we're already a step back from them in when it comes to strength ability.
Right.
So the goal is, so this giant here, me, he's accumulated, roles with a lot of smaller people and some really big and powerful people, but he's also created a reputation for himself that he is a gentle giant. But it's because he really, really wants to learn.
I wanted to make sure that I didn't get a reputation of, just being this big dude that's just going to muscle his way out of things. But I also understood, knowing enough about jiu-jitsu and understanding and training in general, that like once you get the skill part down, strength does have a place.
Absolutely.
Like, it does have a place, especially with, you know, certain movements and hip bumps and be able to, you know, generate force to be able to like transition positions and stuff. And
if you're strong, it is difficult to unbalance you.
Yes.
And it's
easier to do everything too when you're stronger.
Right.
Right.
And so
not bigger, stronger. There's a difference.
Right.
Yeah. There's a big difference there.
Sometimes it goes hand in hand, being bigger and stronger.
But being too big sometimes with jiu-jitsu ends up working against you in the mobility aspect, the flexibility aspect, you know, being able to do certain movements. Yeah.
Yeah. Close your guard.
Right. Right. Right.
You can't wrap your legs around somebody's rib cage or upper waist.
Yeah.
Then you don't close your guard. You try doing other things. So the reason we're doing this though, is to talk about training changes based on.
So let's get into that.
Adding a sport. So, a lot of times, I'm going to say another unpopular thing, functional fitness.
Right.
Let's talk about functional fitness for a second.
What is that?
I'm biased.
Can you define what functional fitness
is? Okay. So according to probably the Google, functional fitness, I can Google it.
Yeah.
Functional fitness is along the lines of, you know, something that strengthens your everyday tasks. And so you'll end up doing things like stupid shit.
Like
carrying in extra heavy bags of groceries. I don't know. Or doing things like think about it this way.
I think you're overcomplicating.
You're a baseball player.
Right.
So what you do is you go, okay, so I want to get faster. You're a pitcher. I want to get faster at pitching. So functional fitness dictates that you do things like connect a stiff bar to a cable machine and practice with weighted swings, like you're swinging a baseball bat, or adding a heavy weight to the end of your baseball bat and practicing your swings with that, or throwing a heavier than the 5 ounce baseball and practicing doing that. Well, the problem comes, and there's all kinds of examples of this across all sports. Like,
well, there's that theory that like, if you can mimic movements but add resistance to it, that are movements that are similar in the sport,
then everything else will become easier because it'll be lighter. But what it actually does is it teaches you to do that movement poorly
and slower
and slowly.
Yeah.
Because it is not mimicking it. Beside the movement being similar, it is not mimicking what you're actually doing. So there's a difference between training and practice. And so functional fitness is along those lines, where in soccer, or they'll put a squat bar on your back with weight on it, and they want you to do like quarter squat jumping squats, because that's going to make you more explosive of a lifter or more explosive of a jumper. And it doesn't, because what makes you more explosive is being able to exert more force against the ground.
Right.
And the best way to be able to exert more force against the ground is to make your muscles stronger, so that every repetition is submaximal.
Right.
So that makes you more powerful. That makes you faster. That makes you, I mean, and within reason, you don't want to be putting on strength. When you're an athlete and you're training, you have to be more cognizant of your nutrition and your body composition. If you're just a strength athlete and you just want to be as strong as possible, you might eat a bunch of food and get as strong as you can.
Yeah, but you might eschew body composition for the sake of pure brute strength. Right,
but even strength athletes that are power lifters, that are like internationally ranked power lifters or whatever, they do take into consideration their body composition, because there's a Wilkes score.
Right.
So if you weigh 500 pounds and you squat 1,000, that's not as, 1,000 pounds is impressive, but it's not as impressive as somebody who weighs 125 pounds and squats 350 pounds.
Yeah.
Because 1,000 pounds when you weigh 500 is double your body weight. But if you weigh 125 and you're squatting 350, that's more than double your body weight. So therefore your Wilkes score is higher. So there are ways to game that system, but putting aside what functional fitness, the most functional fitness that exists, and I'm a strength coach, so you might say I'm biased, is strength.
Right.
Because
and then also doing the sport that you're actually doing, like actually doing the sport itself. Right. Like, so like there's a conditioning aspect to it that you can't really mimic unless you're going through it. It's like when we first started rolling, we went twice a week, sometimes I think three, if we got it in on Saturday, but the first 2 weeks, because it was new, and this is very similar to say strength training, when you do like a novice linear progression, those first couple weeks, you're sore, you're a little bit more gassed, you're tired, because it's a new kind of stress, but then there's that adaptation recovery aspect that comes into play. And then again, and then it became like, oh, this isn't bad at all. And then we went into CAP, and then we went into
class, we tripled the amount of times we were rolling in a week.
We went to class, and then right after class, we do open mat. And again, the first time we did that, it's like the goal is to get to, because you do 5 minute rounds of like simulated, you know, matches, minute in between, and it's available to go a whole hour. And every time we roll, we get to go, we end up doing like just a little bit more, just a little bit
like
more.
Another round. Like the first two.
Yeah,
if you could day, like, I think we did
20 minutes.
We did four rolls.
Right. I just gassed.
And we were, I was dripping sweat, which I actually really love because I enjoy cardio. But so that's my little spiel on functional fitness. But we had to adjust our training to accommodate the amount of rolling we were doing.
Especially when you first start.
Right.
There's that introduction period where you have to adjust because of the soreness and the recovery for the sport itself.
So what I did when I started was I went from a 4 day training week to a 3 day training week.
Right.
Which my coach, I had said, hey, I'm doing jiu-jitsu. Can you change this? And so she did for me. And,
And I reached out to Adam Lorton, who I've had on the podcast recently. He was on a couple episodes ago.
Purple belt.
He's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. I know. I got that right.
Purple belt. Yes. He's also a starting strength coach. Yes. He has a gym in Reno.
I was going to say. So he's a strength coach as well. Owns a gym in Reno and is a purple belt. And he's been doing both for quite some time. Yeah. And I just reached out to him in regards to his training protocol. And just to kind of give you some tips as somebody who's, you know, beginning. Because he trains novices. And then he also works with people who start jiu-jitsu after they've been training for a while, like in strength training in that, you know, regards. So, you know, and that kind of lends to something else, which is, you know, reach out to experts, you know, people that have knowledge, depth of knowledge. It's really huge. You know, that's where like your ego kind of comes into play, and learning to make those adjustments and have those conversations with people, it's really going to go a long way, because like you can take bits of piece of information and then try to see how you can apply it for your own program, and then see how that works for yourself, both in your schedule, your daily life, your own physical, you know, like your own body, like how your body reacts to things, because it might work for one person, but it's not going to work for you specifically. So
it all depends. It also, there's other factors that come into play, like age of the person.
Yes, 100%.
But so when you train and you do jiu-jitsu, there's going to be a lag in recovery. You're going to have a couple of weeks that are pretty rough, but your body will adapt to both trainings, both modes of training.
Yeah. And then jiu-jitsu becomes like your conditioning work. It becomes like your accessory work, you know, for strength training, like, you know, your assault bike or your sled or your hit. Exactly. Right. That's what it really
because becomes. It is. It is intense work.
Very intense.
For bursts. Short bursts.
Yep.
I would even liken it a little bit to more like a medium intensity steady state, as opposed to, though it's not really steady state, it's 5 minutes, but
I think it depends on who you roll with too.
Like, well, yeah, if you're rolling with Andy, then you're trying not to die the whole time. But I don't get to roll with Andy yet. Eventually. I have a dislocated rib at the moment, so when that's back in place, I'll try it.
The one thing I like about just to kind of take into consideration that aspect we talked about with strength, right? Whereas, so now we've been doing this for about 5 months. I've gotten to a point now where starting to figure some stuff out with jiu-jitsu and feeling things out and understanding certain movements. And at the beginning, just trying to muscle your way through certain movements isn't going to work, because you think about it, it's very similar to strength training in this aspect. You're talking about leverage, movement arms. You're talking about
moment arms, right?
Yeah. Very physics based, application of force. When to apply that force, you know, when to try, how to try to apply the most amount of force with the least amount of resistance. And there's a timing aspect of it, and it's really huge. And what I'm learning is that there is a place for my strength when I can apply it with the skill level. Like, I had a couple compliments. It was actually really nice to hear where somebody had me in mount, or they had me in cross guard, and, you know, in a pretty, what you would consider a position where you're not going to be able to get, it's going to be difficult to get a, what you call a sweep, where you're on bottom, somebody's on top, and you're going to be able to reverse positions. Right. And I got the compliment of, I didn't think I was in a position for him to be able to sweep me and toss me like that. And he did. And I was surprised I was on my back. And for me, that comes into play where the skill and the strength aspect meet. I can apply the skill I learned, the technique of how to do it. And for somebody that's weaker, that might give them space to get a knee in and fight for an escape. But for somebody who's stronger, that's going to give me the space to be able to provide the movement to actually just get that position off me completely and completely flip over. Right. So that's where the fun is like starting to come into play. Like, you know, athletes always talk about like things start slowing down. I'm not comparing this to a professional athlete, but like the more you do something, the more things start slowing down for you and you can understand them and you can kind of string them together in quicker succession.
Yeah. And the other aspect of that too is that you start feeling, so when you're rolling with somebody, there's a little bit of a give and take. And so when you learn something in drill, the person that you're rolling with knows what you're going to do and they're allowing you to do it so that you get the feel of the movement and you get comfortable with the progression of whatever steps you're going to take.
Yeah.
When you're in a live role, you have to be able to, and this again comes with practice, you have to be able to recognize when somebody's light on their knee. Yes. Or they're light on your chest.
Exactly.
And you can take advantage of that momentary let up where you can blade and flip over, or you can like shrimp out, or you can get them in half guard, or you can, if you're underneath or whatever. And you have to be aware of that for yourself too. Right. And that's why I made the comment earlier about balance, because there's a lot of points in jiu-jitsu where they just want to get you off balance, because if they can get you off balance, they can do so many things. So when you're strong, your balance improves. And
Because you have a strong base and because you understand.
When you train consciously, when you train movements that are going to give you the most bang for your buck and that are going to train your whole system together as opposed to individualized kind of more, I would say, bodybuilder style workouts.
Right. Like hypertrophy training.
Right.
Yeah.
Which you can, I mean, that's a whole nother podcast, but you train your entire system synonymously and simultaneously is the word I'm looking for. And therefore your body works together well.
Yeah.
So trying to unbalance somebody who is strong and aware of their body and space, good body mechanics and body awareness becomes more problematic.
Yeah.
And so I did want to touch on that just a little bit. The idea of training time. So
you talking about time before you get into jiu-jitsu, or
no,
just like
your
training time in general?
I'm talking about
coinciding with it.
Right. So what I'm talking about is priority.
Okay.
So when you're in a sport, in our case, it's jiu-jitsu right now, on top of training, you have to prioritize your time as well as your recovery. So
especially when you have life, like if you're, if you're single, you have no kids, and I'm not knocking, you know, anybody like that. I'm just saying just like pure facts. If you're,
you have more time,
the less responsibilities you have that are outside of yourself, then the more free time you generally tend to have. Right.
And the more you can do with your time, like you can do more,
you can apply more to it. Yeah.
We have a pretty tight schedule.
Yes.
Homeschooling in the morning.
I work in the morning.
Works in the morning. Then we have jiu-jitsu. Most mornings, like noon.
Like real quick, I'll break down like a daily schedule for us, right? So I usually get up about 4 a.m. And then I'm out of the house by 4:30, 5 at the latest. Go to work. I'm at work between 5 and 5:30. I'm usually back home by 11 o'clock. I do part-time operations management. It works out great for us schedule-wise, both from a pay side and then from the benefits. You know, having 5 kids, 7 of us in the family, working a part-time gig that gives you full benefits is huge because it saves us so much money. And
it's worth it.
Right. So I'm home by 11. At that time, Anna Marie is wrapping up homeschool with the kids.
It starts at 9
right
in the morning.
Yeah. And there's a benefit to that.
Get up, make breakfast.
Yep.
Listen to some educational podcasts.
Right. And while she's getting dressed and making breakfast, right, she's going through and doing some work herself as well. Like checking some emails, maybe doing a couple check-ins with clients and whatnot, right?
When school's done for the day, I do a couple of check-ins that I don't have to do on them all at night.
Yep. And then I'll be home.
Yeah. And then he'll come home. Mm-hmm. He'll shower the dust from boxes off of him. We'll get dressed and we'll head out to class.
Now, this is only been something recent because our kids in a position now where my oldest is because, you know, we never go more than 10 minutes away from the house and they have a phone and everything else. And they, you know, they can stay home now, which works out really, really well, you know, with my son.
That allows us to do the classes that we're doing.
Right. So then we leave, they do, and they actually, they'll make lunch and then we head out. They know the routine. Me and her head out and we're usually back within a couple hours. We do class.
Come home. And then I have training and or check-ins and or work calls. And then the kids have to go to jujitsu.
Yeah. And then what I do is we'll come back home. I'll take maybe a small little break and then I'll train and then I'll take the kids to jujitsu. So I take the kids to jujitsu the majority of the week, if not all the time, because what that does is since she's homeschooling in the morning, it gives her a chance to get her training in, get a little bit of a break, do work as well too. And then that way, when I come back home with the kids in the evening at dinner time, everything's done, right? And then we have dinner, kids go to bed, and then we start over the next day. Right. And that's about 5 days a week for us right now.
Yeah. So training. Your training needs to give you the most in a time frame that works for you. So I have a three training day week, but I break it up over 4 days. Right. I'm not a novice anymore. I've been lifting consistently for 7 solid years.
Right.
Like it's going on 7.5 years now, where I have taken a total of 6 weeks off of training in those 7 years, 4 because I had a baby, mm-hmm. 1 because we were going to visit your dad, the other because my dad died.
Right.
So,
and you're very methodical with your training.
And I'm very dedicated to my training because I recognize, it's discipline, not motivation.
Right.
And I recognize what that does for my life. And I recognize what that did for the birth of our fifth child, how much easier that was.
God, that was cakewalk. I mean, from what I saw.
It was much cakewalk is
relatively speaking, giving birth to twins.
It was definitely a different experience having chosen on a regular basis for 4 years at that point to do something hard every single day.
Right.
So you want the most bang for your buck. So when it comes to training, you want to train what's going to make you as a system the strongest, the fastest, the most efficiently.
Yeah.
So that means big compound barbell movements. Muscle mass recruited over the longest effective range of motion. So there are a couple of movements that people will be like, oh yeah, that'll make me stronger. But in reality, it's not going to benefit you because it's really just a powerlifting movement that has kind of creeped its way into the mainstream because they see really, really strong people doing it. So they think that's going to make you stronger. But things like really wide bench press or sumo deadlifts.
Right.
So those movements in particular have been developed to game the powerlifting system. When you move your grip out really wide on the bench press, you artificially shorten the range of motion that you have to go through to move that weight. Now,
well, because you have to get the bar to touch your chest.
Touch chest.
And that's where that's where those like cartoonish arches start coming in.
Right.
Right.
Which that is a skill unto itself, and you can train it and you can get very, very strong doing that. But it is not the longest effective range of motion. It is the shortest range of motion to lift the most weight.
Right. It's like comparing a CrossFit competitive athlete versus somebody who does CrossFit for fitness.
Right.
Right. Those are two totally different things.
The same goes for the sumo deadlift.
Right.
The sumo deadlift is where your hands are inside your knees, your legs are your toes are pointed out, which they should be in a conventional deadlift as well. Mm-hmm. And you're going to start with a wider stance so that you have less distance to lift the bar, which again is so that you can lift more weight to get a higher score to get a medal powerlifting.
Right.
But the longest effective range of motion is the range of motion that recruits as much muscle mass as possible and keeps them under tension for the longest, you know, for like.
So traditional deadlift versus a sumo deadlift.
Conventional deadlift where your hands are outside your legs.
Yep.
You set your back, you lock it out because what longer that does is it's an effective long range of motion that recruits more muscle mass and trains that muscle mass over that range of motion to make you stronger as a whole.
Right.
It's like doing a quarter squat versus a full squat. A quarter squat tends to leave out your hamstrings because your hamstrings are in isometric contraction when you squat. Yes, I'm getting nerdy.
No, it's good.
And then your abductors, which are your inner thigh muscles, or we call them the no muscles. There's the yes muscles and the no muscles. So they're the ones that snap your knees closed.
Jiu-jitsu. Very important muscles. It's
true.
Yes.
So a quarter squat, you could probably lift more weight. However, you're not recruiting as much muscle mass or right. using them over an effective range of motion. Now, an ass to grass squat, so a like CrossFit competitor squat or an Olympic lifting squat.
Yeah.
The reason that like you're like, wow, that person can do that for 300 pounds. But the reason they can do that for 300 pounds is because they can actually squat to depth properly for 450 pounds. So what we tend to do as human beings is look at somebody who does something and go, they're really strong. I'm going to do it that way because that's how they got strong.
Yeah.
But the fact
or that, they're fast or right.
The reality is
good athlete, yeah.
that there's a whole lot more behind that. So anyway, so the longest effective range of motion.
Yeah.
What that's going to do is it's going to train your entire system to be stronger. So I squat to depth. I do a low bar squat because it recruits more muscle mass because it's instead of being upper ab, upper back, quadricep dominant, like a high bar, mm-hmm. I lower the bar 2 inches down to my scapula. I bend over a little bit more and that recruits my adductors and my hamstrings as well as my quadriceps, my glutes, my low back, and then my stabilizers.
Right.
You know, and so therefore I am using the largest muscle mass over the longest effective range of motion to strengthen my whole system. Right. And that is the goal of training right now for me is to, and kind of always. So I'm trying to get more bang for my buck. So if I had the option to choose between doing a low bar squat in a day, like I have 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Do I low bar squat or do I do something like upright rows?
Right.
I low bar squat.
Yeah.
Because upright rows are isolating or working with a much smaller muscle group. It's upper, it's a
traps
yeah. anterior delts, yeah. posterior delts, you know, like your shoulders. If I squat, I'm utilizing from my neck to my feet mm-hmm. through every single repetition. And I'm able to lift more weight doing that. So as a jiu-jitsu trainee and a strength trainee, mm-hmm. I take my training time seriously. I have a limited yes. amount of it. So I do what's going to benefit me most. So I squat, I bench press, mm-hmm. I overhead press, and I deadlift. And I do a few different variations of squats, deadlifts, bench, and overhead press. And then I condition.
And just to throw this in here, again, strength training doesn't mean get bigger. It's get stronger. We've lost weight and gotten leaner since we've started jiu-jitsu.
And I've done, I mean, when I started strength training, I weighed 205 pounds.
Yeah. Or maintaining, yeah.
And I've maintained 180, 85 pounds for the majority of those 7 years yeah. by strength training and watching my nutrition. But like, it's very difficult to bulk.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother conversation. But I wanted to talk about particular because I've come across it a little bit that you can strength train and do jiu-jitsu at the same time.
Yes.
Your body will adapt 100%. To both of those things.
Yeah.
But you have to be smart with what you do with your time.
Recovery, nutrition.
Don't waste your time doing barbell curls.
Yeah.
When you have half an hour.
Yeah.
Do your squats. Do your deadlifts. Yeah. Do your bench press. Do your overhead press.
Right.
Do squats and overhead press if you have an hour. Then the next time you go and do deadlifts and bench press if you have an hour. The next time you go and do squats and overhead press. And your press likes to be done. So your upper body movements, they want to be done more. They want more volume. And then your big compound movements like squat and bench and deadlift, do them once or twice a week.
Yeah. I mean, perfect example of, taking, theory to application and putting it in play is, I was rolling with somebody and he had, side control, he was on top and he was, trying to, maneuver position. And one of the things he was trying to do is use his head to move my arm so he can get better position. And afterwards we were talking a little bit and he was telling me, he's like, holy shit, you have strong lats. Like I could not move your elbow, And what I mean by that is like, I'm here. He's trying to get me to go inside. Here yeah. to move my arm to get it up here. So we can get to
he wants inside a Kimura position.
Or something. Yeah, exactly. And I'm on my back and I'm doing this and I'm keeping him down.
So
tight.
Squeezing this
right.
here.
And I'm holding it down. I'm keeping his head down. I'm maintaining control and position there too. Okay. Well, if I can take 350 pounds or 400 pounds on a barbell, control, bring it down, and then bring it back up again. Okay. In a bench press.
Or you can deadlift 500 pounds, which bench. So lats are built by doing deadlifts. These, right. The wings here.
Yeah.
And deadlift like directly benefits your bench press.
Right.
And then therefore you're going to have a stronger bench press.
So if I can do that,
you can move more.
You're not moving my arm with your head. Like that's not going to happen. Right. Especially if I'm not just totally gassed, it's going to be very difficult for it to happen. So that's where the strength, and it's not about size. Again, it's not about size. It's about the strength component of it. Right. So, or if, you know, like, Coach John, one of the things he says is, you know, I love the stuff he says. It cracks me up.
He's the best. Cause you'll never forget it.
No. And, ask Tom. One of the things he talks about is, you know, like it's like hip movement. Right. And he said, you know, they have a saying
lives in your butt.
Yes, exactly. And what he means by that is like in your hips, everything is hip movement. And that's something I picked up right away. You know, feeling really heavy in my hips when I was on the ground on your back and being able to actually, you know, plant your foot, make positions, right. Create position change and shifts, but you have to, it's all about creating space. And that space is created by your hips, right? Be able to move your hips, be able to move your hips. Okay. Well, that's strength training in every aspect of it, right? Like compound movements, it's hip movement. Right?
Well, and a human being,
hip drive, right?
A human being,
yeah,
is submaximal,
right?
To a 307-pound squat,
right?
I have yet to roll with somebody who weighs that much, and sure. I won't be because it's 50 pounds. It's more than 50 pounds more than my weigh, which is another rule for CAP. Is you try, right. You tend not to roll with somebody who outweighs you by 50 pounds because right. That much of a size discrepancy becomes it's just comical.
Sure.
And you cannot do much against it.
Right. So if I have somebody who weighs 240 pounds and they're on top of me, okay, and I can bench 350, then I'm going to be able to recruit the correct amount of muscle strength and the muscle fibers to be able to, if I can get position, to be able to, you know, not literally bench press the person off me.
Which is bad technique.
That's also bad technique because what you're doing is, because I did that before early on, right? Because I didn't know what else to do. And then Coach John was like, aha, thank you for your arm. All right. So, but what I can do is I can create space because I can get my hand on your shoulder and no matter how much you apply force, okay, I'm going to be able to move you.
Submaximal repetition.
Right. Exactly.
It's running.
Exactly.
It's when you can squat and deadlift that much.
Right.
Everything is submaximal.
Right.
So therefore you're going to be able to do more.
Exactly.
And the other side of that too is there is, because it's submaximal, your conditioning is different. Like
right.
You don't get a ton of conditioning when you strength train unless you do it on a really short timer.
Right.
Which then there's a whole nother, again, that's a whole nother topic.
That's like rolling like rounds.
Yeah. Right. But if you have even a little bit of conditioning and you're strong, you can defend
right
a lot. And I, you know, I kind of just like laugh because I was under our coach, Leah, our black belt coach. You know, and she was in half guard and I just had her. I was hugging her shit out of her. She says, you know, you can't get out from underneath me if you're hugging me. I said, I just have to survive because I'm a one stripe white belt.
Yeah. You're just trying to,
I am just trying not to get tapped and I'm not trying to get submitted. I'm not trying to like die.
Well, as like coach said, like I was telling him, you know, I feel like I don't know what I don't know yet. And sometimes it gets a little bit frustrating and I'm just talking to him. Right. He's like, dude, as a one stripe white belt, when you roll against anybody above you, which is everybody pretty much. Right. Okay. He goes, your whole goal, like as you learn, as you go through this like evolution of like education is basically just hold positions. Like, you know, you have a limited skill set compared to that person. Right. So it's just,
you don't have time.
No,
it's reps. You don't have the reps.
Right. You don't have the reps in yet. So, right. So like the whole thing is just like, it's maintaining position and just learning, you know, applying what you've learned so far. Right. Right?
And trying not to give them an elbow, trying to give them your neck.
Yep.
And,
you know, also, so it's not just about size, right? Like, you know, I have a goal of like to continue dropping and getting leaner and leaner as we keep going through jiu-jitsu and everything else too, because getting leaner and getting more agile is going to make the movements easier, like getting like, you know, gaining positions and being able to move around. The flexibility. Yeah, exactly. That's the big part of
but
it also.
It's because so. I'm not as big as this
no,
guy.
No.
However, I think some people would say that I'm a problem.
Yeah.
When it comes to rolling.
Yes.
Because I'm strong.
You're strong and you got a strong base and a strong
foundation.
So
it makes it difficult to unbalance me. Right. I haven't rolled with everybody, but I think that it's safe to say that I'm a problem for people because I am strong.
Right.
And I'm not, some of them I'm bigger than, some of them I'm smaller than, some of them the same size. Right. And they would expect because I'm a one stripe white belt that they would kind of manhandle me.
Right.
But because I have 7 years of consistent strength training, I may not be the most technically sound, but I can defend very, very strong.
When jiu-jitsu is about, right. There's a big part of jiu-jitsu is about is taking advantage of what the other person's right. giving you.
The feeling, okay. feeling what yes. they're giving you, if they're okay. light in one part of their body. Or
But you also have to be able to move them, right? Like it's not brute force, but you have to be able to move them, right? To create positions and whatnot too. And be able to finish, right? Yeah. Okay. So, well, when you're strong, it's harder to move somebody, yeah. right? It's harder to move the position. Now, I want to make sure that I really put this out there.
Because we are not experts in jiu-jitsu by any stretch of the imagination. No, I am a full-on novice in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, right. 100%.
There is no, like, I'm not, no.
No, no, no.
I am a full-on novice.
Right.
That's that. There is no question about it.
Exactly. And by no means are we sitting there saying that, like, you know, that coming in and taking names and kicking ass. No, no, by all means. So like, I'm, you know, no. I've been tapped by guys smaller than me. And the conditioning aspect of it, there's a whole world. I'm like just peeling the layer back on just starting to learn. Right. What we wanted to do was just really, you know, have the conversation of like how maybe dispel a little bit of the myth also that like, if you strength train, then it's going to be detrimental to jiu-jitsu or it's hard to do at the same time. And the other aspect is now having done it for about 5 months as a novice, a true
rank novice
yeah. of jiu-jitsu that knows jack shit. Okay. Already. Okay. I see the benefits of training, of strength training, how it's already like starting to be able to just like, as you pick up new skills and things become like a little bit more comfortable in second nature, how you apply the strength side of it too as well. And then you can put those things together.
Strength gives you time.
Yes.
And jiu-jitsu is time.
Yeah, it is.
Timing. So our friend Adam Lauritsen is writing a kind of a manual, not really a manual, but it's almost like it's about how jiu-jitsu and strength training can coexist and how it's about timing. Cause it really right. is. Like I said, it's a chess match and the black belt is 8 steps ahead of you.
Yep.
And you're slowly like a baby sloth trying to figure out how to do this one thing when there are cheetahs racing down the Sahara and you're just hanging on for dear life. Strength gives you time. And that time allows you to maybe, you know, figure out these things that you've learned in drill and apply it. And so, because time matters and timing matters,
yep.
it's a benefit. And by no, like he's like Alex said, you I don't bench press people off of you because no. it gives you your arm, gives yeah. them their your arm.
There you, go.
You don't like stick your neck out because no. they're going to choke you out.
Yeah.
The same thing happens with your legs. You have to be careful. Everything right. you want to keep everything in. You want to keep a tight frame and you want to keep the things yeah. close. You want inside position. But
because yeah, once being somebody able gets on to top
maintain
of you,
inside position yeah. is going to be stamina and strength related.
Yes,
and so that stamina
with technique,
right?
Yeah,
right, but. To being able to do this, stamina and strength.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like,
I hear what you're saying.
Holding yeah. this. This mm-hmm. is, I mean, you learn framing, you learn proper framing,
right.
things like that as you go, but keeping your hands in place so that they can't armbar you, can't Kimura, you can't Americana, you can't.
Right, because when you're on your whatever. Back and then somebody has mount or they have like, you know, full side control, you know, the next movement is
submission.
You know, the next step is, you know, trying to find the submission.
Right.
And then that's trying to get one of your extremities away from you.
So then point into a right. position where you're willing to tap right. because they're going to hurt you.
Or, you know, get your collar so they right. can apply some kind of right. collar choke. Or get
so,
them. Yeah, exactly.
That strength gives you time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, and it's like Alex said, this is not to say that we're like
no.
badass jiu-jitsu fighters because
no,
we're
all.
Not.
No, not at all.
Like,
no,
still I get learning.
It's, gassed, it's fun. I love it.
I get
it's
my
a blast.
Butt kicked by this very, very sweet brown belt
who yeah. just
gently chokes me out and like smiles at me and goes, you know, you'd be better if you breathe through your nose, Cameron. But he's great.
Yeah.
But, and he's like, he's teaching me. He's a yeah. great teacher in the moment.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, I'll be talking to like one of my partners I roll yeah. with. It's funny sometimes. Yeah. Like, so they'll pull him up like, oh, that was a good one, you know?
Or I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
I can feel it. Yeah. We went to an Ironman where they were promoting 3 black belts. And then at SBG, this is how they promote. You know you're getting promoted. And then what they do is they have this event.
Where, yeah, that's like the celebration of the promotions. Right. Yeah.
You know it's going to happen. Like
yeah.
you've gotten your 4th stripe and whatever belt it is. And you've, you know, your coach has told you that you're going to be promoted. And so we had a black belt promotion, what, like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Iron Man.
And it was three, Cody, Jimmy, and Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just dislocated my ribs enrolling earlier that day.
That's right.
I had a dislocated rib right here, which is a fun little side note of not funness, but it's fine. I still do it anyway. So everybody shows up, lines up according to rank on the wall, and every single person that's sitting and waiting rolls with the people that are getting promoted. And it goes from
So when she says everybody, it's so Travis and Keisha. So what they'll do is they invite everybody that is a SBG member, not from just from all that of gym.
The SBG gyms.
Remember, there's what, five now, right?
Missoula, yeah. Whitefish, Big Four, Kalispell, and then Bozeman's going to be the fifth one.
Right. So they have four right now.
Four within 2 hours.
Right. So
three within 20 minutes. So four within 2 hours.
For the last one. And then, and the thing is, the rules are, I mean, the rules basically is whoever shows up, you have to roll with them. Yeah. Right. And then there's no time. You roll till somebody taps.
Right.
Right.
And so there's no like, oh, 5 minutes, you're done.
So how many people showed up for that one?
75 people.
It was insane. It was
including a bunch of kids.
They went around the whole gym. Yeah.
The little kids come up and they're rolling with these grown men.
And some of them were their kids.
Some of them were, but some of them were just like people from their gym.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
One of the Cody Bissett, one of the black belts, owns Kalispell, owns SBG Big Fork. So he had a bunch of his kids come up, and you know they run through us, right? So I'm rolling with Cody, and I can feel him getting the Americana, and I'm like, no, 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 and I'm like saying this out loud, and he's like, am I hurting you? I'm like, no, you're submitting me. It's fine. And then I get to Jimmy.
Right.
And Jimmy is like watching water flow over rock. He's smiling and he's so chill. And so I like go up to him. And then he basically chokes me out with his gi.
Yeah.
And I'm laying there going, what is happening? And there's this line of people that are right here and they all start laughing because they're like, I mean, they're like purple belts. And I'm just like, I'm laughing because I cannot do anything to stop
this. Nothing you can do. Yeah.
But I'm just like, how is this happening right now? And he literally like, he flows in a way that is, it's like John, like it's like water over rocks. And then Aaron is methodical kind of brute.
Very
just
calm.
Like, he's very calm.
Yeah.
But every single person that shows up to rolls with the people getting promoted.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then they get their black belt at the end and they roll with Travis, who is their coach. And these were the first, these were 7, 8, and 9 of the people that Travis had taken from white belt to black belt.
Yeah.
So it was very special.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
And it was really cool to be a part of that. And it made me,
especially being so new to the gym.
Yeah. And it made me look forward to eventually in the next, like, I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
Promotion.
Yeah. Like taking my on that first one.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, it made me nervous for it, but
God, getting conditioned really just for that is motivation.
Because you're rolling, like they rolled for a solid 2 hours.
2+ hours,
no breaks.
Yeah.
As soon as somebody's done, somebody else runs up,
taps
your hand, you do a little high five, fist bump, and then you go.
Yeah. No, it's
and it you go blast. Till somebody is submitted. Now Aaron submitted me standing. Just grab my collar. Jimmy
got his gi,
Cody gave me an Americana, and I was just like, okay. Like I just kind of I'm not like they're gonna kick my ass.
Of course.
I'm gonna be like,
and you know, like that's gonna happen, but it's just you know, it's fun and it was a blast. So anyway. But yeah, it was that's kind of like what we wanted to get to and make sure we kind of touched on those topics. And I thought it'd be fun to kind of update everybody on where we are. And then also like
our awesome, much bigger.
Yeah, it's great. Loving it.
It's really cold here. So we have lots of these. I mean, it's not cold now. Like right now is not cold, even though it's like 35 outside. It was 2.
That's how the
seven
conversation too. How fast you acclimate to the weather out here. Yeah. It's so funny. You're like, oh, it's 45 today. I can take
it's kind of warm. I can work out.
In Tacoma, you're like wearing a burka and just like a freaking park and all kinds of stuff.
Never trained in a burka, we're clear.
But So, well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, is there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap it up?
No, but I just wanted to touch on that because I feel like there's definitely a misconception about training in jiu-jitsu and the ability to do both. And if you're going to do it, get the most bang for your buck, compound barbell movements.
Yep.
And do it.
If you're looking for someone, Kalispell, one of the best strength
I'm going to be running a class in the next couple of months.
Yes.
I am always available for sessions and if you have any questions, you can ask me. You can email me, you can text me, you can find me on Instagram, AM_strength. I do this because it is extremely important to me that as many people as possible get strong, because being strong makes everything easier.
It does.
There is nothing that I've encountered in my life where being strong was a problem.
Darn it, I was too strong for that situation.
Yeah. Never.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's ever going to exist.
No.
So, and I train because I want to have the best quality of life that I can have as long as possible. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what we'll do is next time I'll post a couple of days in advance and then we can take some questions.
Yeah, sounds good.
Now that we've been doing this for a while. All right. Until next time. Thanks, guys.